Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if this is your first time watching or listening to the show, every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group. Sharing my show and others like it that focus on improved health, happiness, education, and success is one powerful way we can make a positive difference in the world together. Now, a question brought to us from a listener, and they were looking for answers during a very difficult time, and it reads, I recently lost my mother to a long fight with cancer and my father very suddenly from a heart attack. What advice or insights would you give to anyone who has recently lost both their parents and is struggling to cope with grief? Now, joining us to answer this question and more, our guest, Richard John Allen, worked for some of the world's largest corporations and met many wonderful people, giving him some amazing memories. Yet after losing his father and father-in-law, he decided to leave the corporate world and is now on a journey of writing books about losing a loved one. Now, including his latest book, Keep Calm and Cope with Grief, 9 chapters for managing fear and grief when losing a parent or loved one. This is the one that I'm currently reading right now, and it is really touching. I'll tell you a little bit more about Rich. Rich was raised in a religious family, and he holds strong religious beliefs while leaning upon logic, facts, and common sense in his writing and in his life. He believes that each and every one of us goes through life in a unique and special way, believing that whether we realize it or not, we are shown messages and signs, given skills and gifts, all of which can help us through the good times and the bad. Rich, welcome to Answers Network. Rich, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Hey, Alan, how are you doing? I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm really glad to have you. So I'm not sure where we lost you. Were you able to hear the initial question that one of our listeners had sent, actually long before we even spoke to you?
Yes, I was. And unfortunately, it's a fact of life, isn't it? You know, They say death and taxes. But my fiance, Allison, recently lost her mother only 2 weeks ago. So in the last 2 years, she's lost her father and mother too, just as your listener had mentioned. And from my experience, you know, having lost my father 2.5 years ago, as you know, grief is unique to each of us. It's never the same experience. So really quick, my advice would be find what works for you and please do not give up. You might try something and it doesn't help you with your grief or you're feeling down or even some cases depression, but please don't give up. There's so many ways to handle grief, which we'll cover. And there's so many people you can lean upon, whether it's your family who love you dearly, I'm sure, close friends. And then you have the professional side, whether it's your doctors and counselors, grief groups. But I would say you will find what can help with your grief and can soothe that pain. And please just never give up. The answer is out there.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought that up in regards to never giving up. And what I also hear you saying, and I hope everybody's getting it, is don't try to do it alone. I think that's one of the things that get us in trouble is thinking that, you know, we're strong, we can do this alone. So yes, I'm glad that you brought up, you really need to get some help. Now, in your book, in fact, if you can share with us, as you do in your book, let's get a window into your world. Because I think that'll help people knowing from where you're coming from, and how you got to the point of writing these books.
So in a summary, I was born and raised in Liverpool, England, had a mum and dad and a sister, Gillian. So it was the four of us. And Liverpool, was a working class town. How can I put this? There wasn't much money going around. It was hard times for us. But we never went without. My father and my mother were great providers. And what we did have was a lot of love and fun and laughter. I would not change my childhood, anything about it at all. And that probably makes it harder when your parents leave you because you have so many wonderful memories, right? But then I moved to the United States just over 20 years ago. I worked for a large corporation over here. And it was only, it was February 2020 when I found out my father had cancer. Immediately, myself and my fiance Alison flew over to England to see my dad and my mom and my sister. And we spent a week there. And it was just the start of COVID when we had the pandemic. So we could still travel. Anyway, we spent a week with my dad. He told us it was terminal. He was gonna die. We came back to the United States. And then suddenly the lockdowns and the travel bans were put in place. So we couldn't go back, which I don't know if it was a blessing because I couldn't see my dad withered away, or it was harsh on me and my family because I couldn't be there. But it was November 2020 when my sister Gillian wrote to me and said, "You need to come over now. He's about to pass." Oh. I jumped on the first flight. I managed to get over there. And when I arrived at my dad's house, I actually got the shock of my life, Alan. He was sitting up in bed watching a Clint Eastwood movie. He always wanted to be a cowboy. And he looked fine. I was in shock. I climbed up onto the bed, and I'll never forget, I hugged him. And I put my arms around my dad, and he put his arms around me, and I felt like this five-year-old little boy again. I felt safe. Anyway, I sat there for an hour talking to my dad. I went downstairs, had a cup of tea with my mum and sister, and things looked good. But two days later, my dad was gone. He just deteriorated so quickly. The nurses were there and the family were there, and we held his hand when my dad took his last breath. My fiance then flew over. And again, due to the pandemic, we could not have the funeral for 3 weeks. And we stayed and we had the funeral. And during those 3 weeks, we can talk about how you cope with grief, because that was horrendous what we were going through. But anyway, it was when, after the funeral, we flew back to the United States. We came back home, and it was my fiance, Alison, who said to me, "Write a book, Rich." And I've never written a book in my life, and maybe I shouldn't share this, but my English is terrible, my spelling. And thank goodness we have spell check on our computers. Anyway, you don't realize, and maybe not think about this, but as we go through life, we collect things, whether it be memories or material things. And during those 3 weeks after my dad's passing and waiting for the funeral, I was collecting memories. I was going to church, and I was collecting pamphlets, and family and friends were stopping at the house to share the condolences. And by the time I came back to America and I was home, I had all of these things. And that's when Alison said, "Put this together and write a book. You can help other people." So I started to doodle and write things down. And before you knew it, Alan, I'd written a chapter or two or three. And suddenly it became 9 chapters. And I couldn't immediately go to publish this on Amazon. I had to get an editor and then somebody to format it for me. But then there you had it. You had my book, Keep Calm and Cope with Grief. That was my first book. And it shares my story about losing my dad, what I went through, but also the research, because I had lots of questions like, what is grief? This was my first experience because my grandparents died when I was very young. I'd never been to a funeral in recent memory. So this was all new to me. So I had all of these questions. So in that book, I do a lot of research too. I share my story, but the research is there for all to see with helpful tips and advice. But that's how I became to start writing about grief. And now I'm just about to release my fourth book, which is for children. because they go through grief too. And I believe slightly different to us, because it's harder for children to express their feelings and emotions. So I've written a book specifically for children. Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that I really like and appreciate about the fact that you did write a book on this is, I think for so many of us, we don't know who to turn to. And we think that we're going to be able to handle this on our own. And we don't really know the signs. We don't know the signs. We don't know the stages. Mm-hmm. And if we don't either learn it or talk to somebody about it, I think people are going to misinterpret it. You know, we're going to be taking things out in one direction where, you know, a loved one that's still with us doesn't understand. So, and that's one of the things I got from your book. And again, for those that are kind of new to the show, I've also lost my father many years ago, but I just lost my mother and stepfather within the last years. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I didn't know how to deal with a lot of it as well. And so reading your book has really been helpful for me to kind of get through things and not dwell on some of the things that I can't change, and how to focus more on some of the positive things. And so I want to thank you for that, because it's really been helpful.
Thank you. Yeah. It's an interesting book, the first book, Keep Calm and Cope with Grief, because as I say, it talks about what I went through, and I was learning as I went through this whole process, you know, whether it's organizing the funeral, the eulogy, the obituary, how I could help my mum. My mum and dad were in that house, and as most men do, they do the odd jobs around the house. But now my dad's gone, so who fixes the shower in the bathroom, mm-hmm. or who cut the grass or fixed the fence? So I was there for those 3 weeks to help my mum, but now my mum's on her own there, you know, and she has to cope with this new life that she has.
Well, one of the things that you talk about in your latest book, you talk about the stages of grief. Share some of these stages and how we can best get through them.
Yeah, so it was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, wasn't it, who talks about the five stages of grief. And mm-hmm. and I think that was way back in 1969, which, you know, was reading through the information on that is spot on, I think. But I think there's more stages now, isn't it? Most of the psychologists out there will say, and I know in my books I refer to it as the cloak of grief, kind of like peeling back the layers of an onion. There's just so many layers to this cloak that we have on us when it comes to grief. Now, for me personally, I wouldn't say I went through denial. I know that's one of the stages that you can go through. And again, because I couldn't get over to see my dad, I don't know whether it helped me accept that my dad is about to pass with cancer. But I never felt the stage of denial. I think I went through anger. You know, those five stages, just to cover them real quick. So there's denial, bargaining, anger, depression, and acceptance. So I'd say I was angry at some points, and not in any physical way. I was just upset because I couldn't get over to see my dad. As I mentioned earlier, to see him wither away would have been traumatic for us all, but I couldn't hold his hand. I know when I got there, Alan, a couple of days before he passed, and I held my dad and we talked, I'll never forget those conversations. And now I'm angry because I don't have any more. You know, I didn't have any more at that time, you know. But those five stages, yes, some people don't go through any. Some go through a couple. Some go through them all. And many more layers and stages of grief. And, of course, there's different coping techniques for each one. And I think we each have to try different things. And I've mentioned so many different ideas in my books of what you can try. And if it doesn't work, you have to be patient, then try something else. And maybe go back to that idea or that experience. I was speaking to somebody only last week, and they asked a similar question, you know, the stages that you go through and how you mm-hmm. cope. And we got to talking, and they used to say, well, I used to go for a walk with my mum and take the dog. My mum had a dog, and we used to walk the dog. And I said, well, still do that. Go for the walk with the dog. Right. And your mum will be with you in spirit, but still do those activities that maybe your loved one or your parent did with you. Maybe you went fishing with your dad. I know your dad's left you now and he's on the other side, but still go fishing. Mm-hmm. And I would think you will feel close to your dad, even though he's not there, but it's that same activity, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great suggestion. And part of it, as you were saying it, that was coming to me is that it brings back those positive memories of the things that you did together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, even if it was something you did when you were a child with your mum and dad, you know, you can relive them now. Maybe you know your mum and dad used to watch the Golden Girls, you know, because I know Alison's mum used to watch the Golden Girls. So when we watch it now, it reminds us of her mum, Doris, and it brings us those special memories and that closeness. And I know we'll never lose them. They're in our hearts and memories. But it's nice to relive them and touch them even closer by going through that experience of sitting in front of the TV and watching the Golden Girls again, you know. My dad used to watch the old television cop shows like Starsky and Hutch or Ironside and Petrocelli, you know. And now when I watch them, in fact, only last night I was watching Starsky and Hutch, and I can't help but think back, you know, when I was a little boy and my dad used to sit there watching Starsky and Hutch, and it just brings you that closeness again, that love that you had for your mother or father, you know, and it never truly goes away.
Well, I could go into a whole thing on Starsky and Hutch. I was a big fan back then.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, we have a question that's coming in, and again, I want to thank the people that take the time to either send in questions via instant message or email, or, you know, just we appreciate it. And some send them in ahead of time because they work in the middle of the day and they want to hear an answer later. Some come in just on the fly. So here's one that reads, I wish we had books like this when I was raising my daughter 30 years ago, but thankfully they're here now. We talk frequently about how important it is to stay calm and talking with the kids and not at them. I know my daughter will love your book because she believes words spoken properly can be game changers in how issues are resolved. Given her kids are only 11 and 13 and they have recently lost their father, the timing, I think, would be quite good for them to read it. We're looking forward to learning your techniques, and if you believe that ages 11 and 13 would be good choices to read your book. And this is from Josephine in Hawaii.
Okay, Josephine, well, obviously we're sorry for your loss. Sad fact of life, right? But at the same time, we have to rejoice with the memories that we are left. And I truly 100% believe now we'll be reunited with our loved ones. I would say, given the age of your children, maybe my more recent book, which is called Nature's Reach. I mean, all of these books, I know I'm the author here, I think are very, very helpful. But Nature's Reach may be a more suitable or more powerful read for that age group. I personally found nature to be the key for me to cope with my grief. I'm fortunate enough to live in a beautiful house on a lake, and surrounded by trees, and we have deer, possums, squirrels, ducks, geese. They all come through the backyard, and they're my friends. And when I'm feeling down or I need that moment of solace, I just go downstairs, go out into the backyard and sit on the wall or the steps and sit quietly. And that's my church. And that brought me to thinking about how nature can help us with grief. So I wrote a whole book on this called Nature's Reach. And if you think about it, it's not just, well, nature does include the weather. There's something called SAD, right? S-A-D, the seasonal affective disorder. Right? And we know that during the winter, when it's dark and gloomy and cold, we feel a little bit more down, a little bit more miserable. But as soon as it's spring and summer, hey, we're outside, we've got our t-shirt and shorts on, we're happier, we're at the beach, we're riding our bicycles. So the weather has an effect on our attitude, on how we feel, on our character, and it can help us through the dark times, such as grief. So even the weather can help us through these stages that we go through. But I talk a lot more about this in Nature's Reach, and a lot of exercises in there and things that we can do as well. Like I say, we don't realize, but God has given us this great planet Earth with everything we need, I believe, that can help us with anything. And it's right at our fingertips. We just have to realize that it's here. Now, my fourth book, which should be coming out in a couple of weeks, I mentioned before, is specifically for children. But I think it's for adults too. It's a picture book. It's only 600 words. But the message in it, I'm not going to cry. It's truly powerful, very spiritual, truly powerful. And it's about a mother and daughter who lost the father. And the message in that, I think, will really help your children.
Now, you say it's a picture book. Is it one that's geared more towards having parents read it to their children, or is it written in such a way that the children can read it and the pictures help them understand what they're reading?
Yes, both. Yeah, it's a picture book, so children can read it, and the pictures will help them understand what they're reading, but also the parent can read it to them too. And honestly, when I read it, I get choked up. It was just so... I've been writing now for 2 years, and I'm not one just to sit here and I must write a book. It has to come to me. And each of my four books, it clicks. And I suddenly have this vision or this idea, I would like to write about this. And when I came to this fourth book for children, it was a couple of months ago, it just hit me. I was like, this is a good message. And I've had several people say to me, children need help with the grief too. Can you write a book for children? And this was last year. And then suddenly a few months ago, I had this idea. So I put pen to paper and it should be coming out. The illustrations have been done. It's been formatted. I'm literally just waiting for the book cover to be designed. And then it will be out on Amazon. Yeah.
Wow. I think you could probably also do a class on getting books out quickly, because everybody that I've talked to, it takes forever. If you've gotten the fourth book done in a couple of months, that's phenomenal. Yeah.
Children's books are easier, Alan, right? Because it's only 600 words. These other books are 30,000. So it's all more. Yeah. A lot quicker with a children's book. But I each one that I write, I say, this is my best. But I love all of my books because they all provide a different message. You know, the first one is about losing my father. The second one, Life After This, is about the other side, because I wanted to, okay, I'm a Catholic. I know where my dad has gone. As cynical as this sounds, I wanted proof. Mm-hmm. I wanted evidence. And I know I can't die and come back and say, I've been to heaven. I know what it's like. I saw my dad, but I wanted that proof. And that's what Life After This, I did so much research and shared my experiences, because since my dad's passing, I've had so many signs from my dad. It's been mind-blowing. And I've had witnesses. It's not just me. Alison has shared it. And she's said the same thing. Wow, this has to be your dad. There's no explanation. So I put all this in the second book, Life After This, to show that there is life after this. I'm 100% convinced.
I'm going to have to read that one, because that one is one, is something that is incredibly interesting to me. And I think we're going to take a break, but when we come back, let's talk about your research. When you mentioned about the weather, I started thinking about the science. And so we're going to take a break. So for everybody, stay with us. But also, if you know somebody, shoot them a message. Tell them to log on that we're going to take a break for about a minute. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the research that Rich did to help him understand maybe what's on the other side. So again, stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team, developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practiced lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
And we're back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network. Our guest is Richard John Allen, and we are talking about all of his books, but his latest book, Keep Calm and Cope with Grief, 9 chapters of managing fear and grief when losing a parent or a loved one. So when we went to break, we were talking a little bit about some of the research that you did and some of the science. So, Rich, share with us a little bit about what you came up with.
So when it comes to, you know, for me anyway, I keep saying in my opinion, because like we said before, Alan, everybody goes through this differently. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got my religion and my faith behind me, but I'm a very logical, kind of scientifically minded person, and I'd like proof. But anyway, I started wondering, you know, where is my dad? What is heaven? Where is heaven? All of these things. Will I see him again? I know I will. I wanted to be sure. So started to talk to funeral directors, as morbid as this might sound, but I was just curious, you know, and I wanted to talk to people who had near-death experiences. And you can, the beauty of the internet, you can join so many grief groups on Facebook or Instagram. And I started reaching out to people, and I was constantly talking to people back and forth and doing webinars with them and chat with them and making notes. And I was totally convinced from day one, you know, people who were going through these near-death experiences were saying, talking about the white light that they would see. They couldn't see their relative, but they knew it was their relative. You know,
right.
What we see on in this reality, you know, my dad was, you know, 6 foot tall. But when I go to the other side and see my dad, I've had this conversation with Alison, my fiance. I mean, I don't know. It's just my opinion, but I may not see my dad as this 6 foot person. I'll just feel my dad's spirit, the essence of my dad. I'll feel his soul. I don't know, but that's what I imagine it to be like. So anyway, I was doing all of this research and going on the internet, and I came across the Sampana or Pania University, and they did a research study where they interviewed 100 patients who all experienced near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. And they all went through a similar experience. So how can you explain how 100 people can die for different reasons, but then come back to life? And when they share what they saw or felt, it was all very, very similar. And that made me think, okay, is there something there? Or is that just before we ultimately die and never come back? Is that just the feeling in the brain that we go through on that's the stage that you go through before we actually pass. I just don't know. There's a psychiatrist out there called Bruce Grayson, and he said, you know, 22% of near-death experiences happen when people undergo general anesthetic and they see bright lights, that white tunnel that they go through. And again, why is that such a common experience? You know, I recently spoke to a funeral director down in Georgia, and I was curious. I thought, well, you've worked in this business for 30 years. You know, what have you experienced? And he said, well, you know, have you seen ghosts or heard things in your funeral home? You know, and he said, no, for 30 years, no, nothing like that. But he did share a personal story to him where one of his younger brothers had committed suicide. And He said one day he was driving to the mountains where his family had this log cabin, and he suddenly got this feeling that his brother was with him in the car. So he pulled over, and he heard this voice from his brother to say, "It's going to be okay." And he knew it was his brother, and he can't explain it. He said, "I know with every fiber in my body, it was my brother talking to me, saying like, don't worry." And the words were, "It's going to be okay." You know, and as I mentioned before, you know, that the signs I've had from my dad, Alan, if anybody can explain it to me, "Well, Richard, you know, it's because of this or it's because of that," then great. I'm not silly. I'm not going to deny it. I just can't explain it other than I believe it's my dad trying to communicate with me.
In the now, what are some of the identifying signs that you received from your dad? That were something that it told you that this had to be him. Yeah. And this may also help other people who have lost someone and they're confused over what they may have felt or saw.
So first off, I'll put a little disclaimer. I think you have to have an open mind. I don't think you can look for the signs. You can't, you know, you've just lost a loved one and then you're looking at everything, trying to read things into it. You'll know when you receive a sign, it'll just be so obvious. So if I'll go as quick as I can, because I'd love to share with you, Alan, three of them. So I was sitting at this desk. I'm upstairs in my house, in my office, where I do the writing of the books. I'm sitting here and I was working on Life After This, and I needed a break. So I sat here, I stopped, and I spoke out loud. I said, "Dad, if you're here with me now, I love and I miss you. I hope you're okay wherever you are, but if you can send me a sign, because I really miss you. I love you, Dad." And then I opened up a web browser, and maybe a lot of guys do this, and maybe girls too. I started to look at cars and trucks, something to do. So I opened this website. There was thousands of trucks, and I found this truck. It was a Ford F-150 or something. And I'm clicking on the pictures of the truck, you know, the front, the side, the back, inside. And there was a photograph of the dashboard, the steering wheel, with the touch screen, like the infotainment screen. Mm-hmm. And on the screen, it showed, you know, the date, the time, the radio station, and the song that was being played at the time they took the picture was called "I Am Alive." Now, I didn't even know there was a song called "I Am Alive," but literally 60 seconds before that, I'm calling out my dad's name, or my dad, you know, "Dad, if you're here, send me a sign. I hope you're alive. You know, I hope you're okay. Wherever you are, send me a sign." And then 60 seconds later, I see this picture saying, "I am alive." Now, it could be a coincidence, right? I'm not that naive. But what are those chances, Alan? You know, I kept the picture. I wanted to actually put it in the book, but for copyright reasons, I couldn't. But I kept that picture because that just blew me away. And I looked up the song. I forget who the artist is. And if you listen to the lyrics, oh my gosh, I was in tears, because it talks about the other side. Like, it's okay, I've crossed over, I am alive. Anyway, so that was one sign. Another one, when I found out my dad had cancer in 2020 in February, and Alice and I flew over to England, we actually stayed in a hotel around the corner from my dad's house because we didn't want to cramp my dad's privacy, you know, he's got cancer. Anyway, one night in the hotel, we're up on the fourth floor, 2 o'clock in the morning, and Alison and I are still awake. We're sitting on the windowsill, and outside on the street was a busker, you know, like somebody playing the guitar, singing songs at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And he was singing "Sweet Caroline" by Neil Diamond, classic song. And there was a bunch of girls drinking, and they were singing, they were drunk, you know, and having a good time. But now every time I hear that song, I think of my dad, and it brings me to tears, right? It's just in my memory. So you fast forward to about, this was only about 3 or 4 months ago. So Alice and I go to bed, and maybe most people do this. We put our cell phones on the dresser table by our beds, right? We plug it in to charge. We leave it there. We go to sleep. At 1:16 a.m., my cell phone goes off playing "Sweet Caroline" by Neil Diamond. Now, it wasn't the start of the song with the trumpets and so, it was the chorus. It just kicked in. It was full blast. I sat up in bed and I shouted out, "Dad, Dad, Dad." And I looked around the room. Sorry, Alan. And Alison woke up and she says, "What's going on?" I said, "I don't know." I looked at my cell phone and it was unlocked. Now, you know, you need your thumbprint to unlock your phone. And it was open. And I was like, how does that happen? And the song's playing. And I don't have it on my phone. Pandora and Spotify were off. How was it playing? So I had to press the power button to get the song to stop. Now, I sat there with Alison for 10 minutes for talk. How does that happen? Where did that song come from? Why that song? If somebody can explain to me how my own cell phone can just play that song like that, I don't know. My dad knows that song means something to me for him. Because every time I hear it, I cry. And I did then. I mean, it's just... Anyway, the third one, and there's so many, but this one. So, and then maybe this is a tip for your listeners too with grief. Yes, my dad has died of cancer and he's crossed over. But to me, he's still alive. And I still send my dad a birthday card on his birthday. I still send my mum and dad Christmas cards, anniversary cards. So my dad's birthday was last September. And I put a birthday card in the mail to him here in America. So there was a bad storm, actually. It was pouring down with rain and the storm had just stopped. And I got the birthday card. I'd signed it and walked down the driveway. I put it in the mailbox. And as I'm walking back up the driveway, I turned around and I got the shock of my life. There was a rainbow in my backyard. This rainbow must have been about 30 or 40 feet long. And it went from my shed to the side of the house, bright, bright colors. Now, the connection with the rainbow is that when we were there in February 2020 to see my dad, and he telling us all the details about his cancer, Alison and I stepped outside of his house in the backyard just to have a break and get some fresh air. And in the distance, there was rain and there was a huge rainbow in the sky that went from the left to the right. And I remember Alison saying to me, maybe it's a sign for your dad that this rainbow means he's going to have the chemo, the radiation. He's going to be okay. He's going to survive cancer. And then, of course, last September, I put a birthday card for my dad in the mailbox. I turn around and there's a rainbow. And Alison came outside. We were both in tears. She took video. We took pictures. And there is a photograph in my second book, Life After This. It's in Nature's Reach. It's in Nature's Reach. There's a picture. How does a rainbow... I've never seen a rainbow so small, 30 feet long, and it's in my backyard on the very moment that I've just put a card to my dad in the mailbox. Now, again, coincidence, I don't know, Alan, but these things happen, and there's many, many more. I mean, I just can't explain it other than that it's got to be a sign from my dad.
Well, if I can share one as well... Mm-hmm. And this just happened to me this weekend. My stepdad's name is Bob. And, when I'm online doing things, we have pop-ups, right? You get commercials that kind of pop up and stuff. So I had one that popped up with a picture. Oh, I just lost it now. I brought it up and now I lost it. Anyway, it was a picture of a shirt. And I used to send him shirts that had interesting sayings on it that reminded me of him.
Yeah.
And so this one popped up and my initial thought was, you know, that it was just a coincidence. If I can get it. There we go. It said, "My people skills are just fine. It's my tolerance to idiots that needs work." Well, that was something that Bob would say. And so it got me thinking about it. And then, now I'm thinking about him. And I even sent it to his wife, you know, that my stepmom, and I sent it to her saying that I'm thinking of Bob. So then I got another pop-up. And this one another shirt, and it says, if at first you don't succeed, try doing what Bob told you to do the first time.
And it said Bob?
It says Bob. Wow. In fact, I don't know if...
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so, but once I was thinking about him, then I got one that had his name in it. And mm-hmm. so then I started just feeling I had like horripilations on the back of my neck,
yeah.
you know, of feeling like he was there. So, yeah. but anyway, so yes, it's interesting.
How do you explain it? Yeah.
Well, and this may also go to the fact that I was also reading your book this weekend. So yeah. I think all of these things together got me going in that direction. We've got another question that has come in, and I know that in your book you talk about mindfulness. So this yeah. one says, I know they are teaching mindfulness in my son's school, but I have not actually had any personal experiences with this, although I've just started reading it. Oh, it's okay. New sentence. Although I've just started reading it, meaning your book, I see you have mindfulness practices in your book. You know, I presume they are for parents to do with our children. I would love a little more information on this topic, as this may be one of the areas my son can take the lead. And as you say, I can learn from him. And this is from Neil in New York.
Okay.
I think they, I'm not sure where they are in your book or which book they're talking about, but.
Yeah. I would say, Alan, I mean, maybe you can share your thoughts on this too, but I think mindfulness, the way I've gone through this in the book is it's about being in the moment mm-hmm. rather than like thinking, dwelling on the past or worrying about the future, right? It's just, it's trying to push those away just for a moment. And I guess it centers on meditating. Now, I've never meditated in my life. I've never done any of those types of relaxing exercises other than, you know, I sit outside or wherever I am, I relax. So I find what works for me. Now, again, I keep saying it, and I hate to say it, in my opinion, right? This is what I do. I like calm, quiet times. That's my mindfulness environment. So I could say I'm going to Barnes & Noble, not necessarily to buy a book, but just to have a cup of coffee and a cookie and sit quietly, or I'll go to the local library. One of my favorites is to go to my local church. And I hate to say this, but not typically during a service or a mass, but when it's empty, because I love, you know, in England, of course, we have old churches, right? Mm-hmm. And I just love the smell, the stained glass windows, just the air that's in that room. And it makes me feel not only closer to God and closer to my dad, but just closer to myself. It's so calming just to sit there quietly. And I get the same experience, or a very similar experience, when I'm sitting in my backyard. You know, I've trained the deer so they'll come up to me and I can feed the deer the corn out of my hand. There's one that we call Samantha, and she's such a sweet deer. With one hand, I can feed a corn, and with the other hand, I can stroke her neck. It's just so, it took a couple of months, but she came closer and closer. And now I have a book, I think he's a 6-pointer, and he's within 12 inches of taking the corn off my hand. So he's getting closer to me now. Now, yeah, I do have to be careful, but these, I've seen no signs of like anger or they're going to attack me or in any way, but just to be so close to nature like this is very calming. So for your son or any child or anybody really, for this mindfulness, think about what calms you. I mean, it might be just pulling up the guitar and you're just strumming your guitar, or it might be taking the dog for the walk. But for me, it's those things. It's finding that quiet place, be it in a church, a library, coffee shop, or sitting in my backyard. Sometimes it could be just putting the headphones on. And I like to listen to Gregorian chant music, which is the choir in a church. You know, I love that big, grand sound of a choir singing, you know, Latin or something in it. I just love that sound. Very peaceful and very relaxing to me.
You know, what I get out of that I really appreciate, and I hope that, did I say who sent that? And that was, from Neil in New York. So Neil, one of the things that I just got from what Rich said is it could be different for all of us. And so what works for Rich or what works for me now, and I also, I meditate nearly every day, both morning and evening. And I have mantras that I go through that help calm me down, that help get me in a better place. You know, for whatever reason, if it's because I'm too wound up or need to go to sleep. I love what you brought up, Rich, in regards to nature. Get out in nature, ground, you know, so that you're not just out in nature, but take off your shoes or get grounding shoes or get grounding pads, something to where you're getting the sunshine, you're getting the clean air, and you're touching the earth. And if you can put all of those things together, I think that that's something that's going to be really beneficial from a mindfulness standpoint for not only us as adults, but for our children as well.
Yeah, I should also mention it in the last section of Keep Calm and Cope with Grief, there is a cheat sheet of useful organizations that you can contact or groups that you can join, and also some tips in there too. And I also have a 7-step guide on how to cope with grief. It's a PDF, and I can send that to anybody. So, you know, your listeners can contact me on the on my website or go through you. Yeah.
Well, but that's perfect. And so what I'd like to do now, it's interesting. I had as my last question, so I was kind of watching the time to share, because I know you have the list of resources, but to share how they can get to that, which you just did, which actually means we must be telepathically
connected. It must be. Yes.
So what I have, let's see, I've got your email. I'm looking for your website. Oh, there it is. So we'll go ahead and share your website.
So my website is richardjohnallen.com.
Okay.
And then all my podcasts are on there, my books, press releases, and you can contact me there too. My author name is actually John Allen, because that was my dad's name. So out of honor and respect and love, you know, for my dad, I wanted to use his name for the books. But John is my middle name. So richardjohnallen.com. And as I say, yeah, you can contact me there. There's a contact form you can fill out, and I can send anybody the PDF of the 7-step guide to cope with grief, or the cheat sheet on ideas as well and tips on how to cope with grief, but also those organizations and websites that you can go to for more information on grief support and counseling.
Okay. And that's great. Now, if any of you are driving and, you know, don't try to take your eyes off the road to write this down. So either pull over to take it down again. It's Richard John Allen. And it's A-L-L-E-N, spelt the correct way, like I spell my first name.
Yep.
But if you can't pull over or whatever, know that we will also put this information, you know, at the answers.network site as well. So Richard, thank you so much. I really appreciate not only you coming on the show, but putting books together and answering a lot of questions that people have that many of us just are not comfortable with talking about. So to be able to grab a book, read it, and see that when people are going through grief, they're not alone. And sometimes there are answers that can help you get through it.
That's right, Animal. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you. I hope I've been helpful. Thank you.
You've been incredibly helpful. Thank you. Now, for everybody out there, please visit our archives of past interviews at answers.network. Or you can just subscribe to the show. Makes it really simple. It's sent to you. You can do it through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, if you want to see us, Rumble, Spreaker, and many other podcast platforms. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps us reach more people, and I want you to know that I greatly appreciate it. Next time you're on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, please remember, stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts, which will actually be some links to some other shows that you might not have heard. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.